on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another 105 Sports special here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Well, Cambridge United, they won again. A 2-1 victory for them against Salford City last night. That's unbeaten in all comps at the Abbey Stadium still this season. They're just 2 points behind league leaders Newport County in League Two as it stands. We'll hear from head coach Mark Bonner and midfielder Hiram Boateng on tonight's show. We'll also catch up with the camps of Cambridge City and Histon. They've both had their fixtures postponed this week, heading into, of course, the national lockdown, which starts tomorrow. Lance Key and Cambridge City club captain Luke Knight will join us. Well, Imogen Papworth-Heidel had 7.1 million key PFEs to do when we spoke in May. And this morning at the Abbey, she managed to complete them. Incredible. We'll be chatting to her and her dad Carl later on in the show. And finally, Cambridge City men have had a tricky start to life in the National Hockey League Division 1 North. Tricky start, but we're joined by assistant coach and manager Josh Peterson to explain all and tell us how they're going to try and keep their players fit and mentally well throughout the national lockdown that lasts a month. So thank you very much for tuning in. If you want to get in touch, you can do 07919 070490, the number to text, studio at cambridge105.co.uk, or find us on social media at 105sport, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over it. So thank you very much for tuning in. My name is Ollie Slack. Let's start with Cambridge United then this evening. And once again, it was a 2-1 victory for the Ewes against Salford last night. Salford, I've been told by Salford, that's how you pronounce it, Tim Armitage, who's, I think he's from up north. Yeah, he told me that's how you meant to pronounce it. Anyway, Salford, the Ewes beat 2-1 last night, managed by Paul Scholes. And it was a cracking performance once again from the Ewes. Probably not their best this season at times under lots of pressure, but their defensive solidity, well, they never looked like they were going to be broken down if Salford had been there all week. A 2-1 victory, and head coach Mark Bonner spoke after the game.
Well done tonight, Mark. For me, a win marked by character and determination to get the 3 points.
Yes, a massive 3 points against a really good side. I think they showed that throughout the night, particularly in the first half, and we struggled to get control of them. We changed the shape a little bit in the from the beginning tonight, and in the first few moments of the game, it looked like we had a few extra passes in us, and we got around the corner of their 18-yard box quite well. And then it soon became apparent that Ashley Hunter and In Henderson and Wilson and Asante, the front four particularly, caused us so many problems between the lines. We had to try and adjust that a little bit. So putting Hiram in there alongside Greg helped us and got us a little bit more control. But we found it difficult. I think the key thing for us tonight was getting in at half time at 1-1, because 1-0 would have been hard for us to feel it as encouraged going into the second half. And 2-0 would have been a real kick, and Dimmy's made a match-winning save for us at that point in the game. So in the end, we get in at half-time in a good position, and then we give ourselves a chance of getting something in the second half.
Yeah, but 3 defeats this season, and each time you've bounced back with a win, and that shows, say, huge character, as we said earlier.
Yeah, huge character, and it's not just that, is it? It's quality as well, because being able to respond and play when we're in this schedule at the moment that is so busy and boys are working as hard as they are, it's a real testament to their quality, work ethic, professionalism that they can do that, and we're doing it against some really good sides. I think sometimes we talk about reactions and they're often referred to attitudes or work ethic or lack of and things like that, and I don't think we've ever had that. We might have had 1 or 2 days where we weren't quite as intense, but that wasn't down to attitude, that was probably down to fatigue or the opposition sometimes. So, you know, we were unfortunate not to come away with something on Saturday at Crawley. And tonight we just wanted to make sure if we found our top level, because we needed to at times, we could come out with points, and we wanted to be a point scoring team tonight. So to come out with 3 is really encouraging, and it's a massive win for us.
You have to stay in the game, and you certainly did that. Say a minute or so from the break, super goal, super build up, wasn't it? And the execution from Jack Ardell.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we look like we can always, you know, those goals where we free the ball wide and we work at pace and get wide players in those positions is something that we're becoming more and more skilled at doing, and they're more common moves you see from us, from a defensive shape into a counter-attacking position or into a a situation where we can build and get ourselves up the pitch. So we were really pleased with the goal, and I think from a psychological point of view, it really helped us going in at half time with that. But the key to the second half was going to be how much control we could get, and if we could get ahead with the goal. And in that moment then we really blocked the pitch off and defended a little deeper, a little bit like Walsall away, and made it hard for them to find chances and find a way through. They're good, so they're always going to find two or three moments, which they did. But I thought the subs that came on gave us a real energy at the top end of the pitch in Nibsy and Paul. And we managed to see the game out well.
Mark, we spoke in the build-up about big sides coming to the Abbey. Newport, Port Vale, beating them both. Salford tonight, another big scalp. What sort of psychological boost does that provide for the rest of the season?
Well, I know. I think what it does, it just gives us confidence that we can compete with teams. And we've set out at the beginning of the season to try and be a team that competes with everyone and can beat anyone. And so that's a mentality that we've got to try and develop. But the best way of that developing and improving is by actually doing it. We haven't done it all the time, and we're not going to do it all the time because they're good sides. And the games can be very close and can swing on a moment. You know, if Dimmy doesn't make the save and they go 2-0 up, then it's a really difficult game and we might not be having the same conversation. So sometimes those moments go for us. What we're showing is we can be really competitive against the good sides. We were really competitive at Exeter. We were really competitive against Tranmere. Maybe not our best days, but close to coming out with something. Certain moments in the game could have gone for us, and certain moments in the games that we've won could have gone against us. So we're under sort of no illusions at the moment. We don't class ourselves a top team yet. We're humble enough to know we have to work our socks off to compete with these teams, but we're confident that we're becoming a better team and we're able to compete with those sides at the moment, and long may that continue.
And just lastly, again tonight, the defensive solidity was superb. Another partnership in Harry Darling and Robbie Cundy, but whoever you seem to put there, you just seem to be so solid and conceding hardly any chances against teams.
Yeah, I think probably in the first half they looked more of a threat, and when we banked up a little bit and secured the pitch a bit more, that was easier for us. It was a tough night for two younger centre-halves with no experienced one alongside them to talk them through it against, you know, Henderson's been banging goals in for years in League One, and James Wilson's played in the Premier League, and Hunter's a League One player, and so on. So, you know, it's a real, real tough test. But there were moments in the night where we looked a little bit shaky, and in the first half we were really under pressure from them, and that caused us problems, and we were a little bit erratic and frantic, but we had a bit more control about us in the second half, which is good, because if players show they can learn in the game and fix their mistakes quickly, that's a good sign for us.
Hughes head coach Mark Bonner giving his thoughts there after the 2-1 victory over Salford last night in League 2. Let's now hear from midfielder Hiram Boateng, who was immense last night in the middle of the park. He again spoke to the media after the match.
Well, Hiram, and a different start to the game, but yourself and the boys showed huge character to come back and win that game.
Yeah, I think we did. See, they were causing us a few problems with their shape, and I think on the pitch we knew we had to kind of adjust it a little bit, you know, just to cover a bit more in the midfield. And at half time we had a little talk between us and the gaffer and just like worked our way to sort things out a bit better.
But you mentioned Wes Houlihan. What's he like to play alongside in midfield, because he's an unbelievable player, isn't he?
Yeah, obviously, we know he's had a really good career, and it definitely gives us a lift when we know he's playing, you know, and just generally around the place. But as I've said, it's always going to be a team effort, and the lads really dug deep today and kind of showed real good character, and you know that's definitely one of our strongest points. And when we do get going, obviously we're definitely tough to beat at the moment, but we need to make sure we don't get ahead of ourselves, you know, and just keep level-headed and just obviously look forward to the next game every single time we're playing.
Yeah, your deal is initially until January. I mean, early days, of course, but any signs of that potentially being extended? Would you like it to be extended?
Yeah, I haven't had any conversations about that, but obviously I'm really enjoying my time. I'm enjoying playing football again, you know, and my main thing is just looking on to the next game, and just keep building and get this club into the position we want to be.
Yeah, so a happy camp this evening, 3 points in the bank, and I bet the dressing room was bouncing nicely afterwards.
Yeah, well, it was, to be fair. The team talk was short and sweet afterwards, to be honest, you know, but I think it was just because of the way we probably performed today, you know. It was a real team effort, a group effort. You know, everyone's in there, lads that are injured, lads that didn't play, and everyone's delighted with the win.
Well done, Hiram. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Yeah, just quickly here, I mean, you've played in sides that have challenged right at the top end of League Two and challenged for promotion, the likes of Exeter, MK Dons and Plymouth as well. I know it's very early days, but how do those sides compare to this United side you're in at the moment?
I think there's been differences in all the teams that I've played in, but one thing I would say is that we've got a real good team spirit, a real good work ethic, and we're really hard to beat at the moment, I feel. You know, if we can keep those things going, then I think this is a club that can definitely be in the running for those things.
Yeah, can you sort of see signs that are similar to those teams that have challenged at the top end of the table to what you can in this team you're playing in at the moment, this group of players?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've got, I think one of the great things at this team is we have options, we have different variations and ways we can play. You know, sometimes it might catch the opposition off guard, and at the moment the strikers are getting goals. You've got other people chipping in. See Jack scoring today, so it's like if we're getting goals from different areas, it's definitely a bonus.
So there you have it, another victory for the Ewes last night, leaving them second in the League Two table, 2 points behind Newport County here on 25, both having played 11 games so far. The Ewes are 3 points clear of the playoff places in the automatic spots, and they take on Shrewsbury on the weekend in the FA Cup. So the first round proper gets underway at 3 o'clock, a break from league action. Then on the Tuesday after, they've got Posh, Peterborough United in the EFL Trophy. So I think it's been nicknamed the Papa John's Trophy as well. Anyway, if you want a slice of that, you can tune in on iFollow. But of course, before that, they'll be wanting to make sure they're in the hat for the second round of the FA Cup. That's on Saturday. We'll be looking ahead to that on the Cambridgeshire Football Show. Gets underway at 1 o'clock here on Cambridge 105 Radio.
On Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to the 105 Sports Special here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Let's continue to chat about local football, but let's turn our attention to our other sides, Cambridge City and Hyster now. And let's start with Cambridge City. They were due to play Felixstowe Walton this evening, but the match has been postponed due to someone in close proximity to the Cambridge City Volunteers. Staff and squad has tested positive for COVID. And glad to say club captain Luke Knight joins us now to discuss the situation. Luke, thanks very much for coming on, mate.
Thank you.
Now, I was planning to chat this evening, Luke, about the match this evening, of course, against Felixstowe Walton. It was postponed a couple of weeks ago due to the wet weather, and it had been rearranged for tonight. However, it's not going ahead. Pretty much the majority of fixtures in the local area had, in fact, been postponed as the league gave clubs the option to do so due to the impending COVID lockdown. And unfortunately, it appears that a volunteer at Cambridge City has been infected, and therefore, due to a number of the players and the staff as well self-isolating, that the match isn't going to go ahead. First, I guess the first thing is, are you okay? Are you one of the players self-isolating? How are you?
No, I'm fine. I'm all good. Yeah, I'm good. Like I said, it could be a number of the volunteers. We are really lucky at the club that a lot of work goes in behind the scenes that kind of a lot of people don't see, even us as players. We turn up on a match day and there's 20 of them already there, so I hope they're all safe, and I'm sure they'll be okay. But yeah, a lot of work goes in to the club that a lot of us players and fans and people don't really see a lot of, so we're really grateful of them, the work that they do for everyone at the club. And we are real lucky so far that as a club, we haven't had to call off a game. I know there's the one tonight, but before then, we've had a lot of games at Cambridge. So to not have one called off, it says a lot of how we do things as a club, and how safe them volunteers, along with the gaffer and the staff, keep us. We're temperature checked 3 times a week when we turn up for training. And we're not allowed to enter the ground before we've all been temperature checked. So yeah, everything's done properly, and I think that shows with only tonight obviously being called off, and it's not down to a player. Do you know what I mean? It's a
sure.
It's so yeah, a big shout out to all of the volunteers at the ground. You know, their work doesn't go unnoticed by us all.
Yeah, well said. What's your thoughts on sort of what's happened over the last few days? It's almost been like a domino effect in that, of course, we heard on Saturday night the national lockdown, and then since then the league's almost said to the clubs, go on then, it's up to you. If you want to postpone the games, you can do. What have you made of what's gone over the last few days?
I think it's given the wrong impression. Say, for an example, there's kind of a big game coming up and you've got a couple of injuries or suspensions, you're kind of being given the easy opt-out just to say that you don't want to play the game. So I think it has given the wrong impression, but obviously there's a method behind them doing it. But if you're an informed team and you're flying, then you probably want to keep playing, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it's probably given a little bit of a wrong impression, but, you know, it's out of our hands at the end of the day. What can we do?
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on how the league have handled it, really? Because not in your league, but in the Southern League, there was a situation with St Ives when a number of their players contracted or tested. I think a couple of the staff had tested positive, and then, of course, a number of players had to then isolate. And the league, again, then sort of said, all right, well, we can't really postpone the game, because unless people go through the proper methods of test and have the test and trace app, it's difficult to postpone. They were trying to set a precedent for the league. Again, in this scenario, it seems again like the league have said, handed it over to the clubs. Do you almost feel like it's avoiding responsibility in a sense, just letting the clubs make the decision?
Kind of. I understand sort of both sides, you know what I mean? The club want to keep their players and staff safe, and the league, obviously, because we started late, want to get the games going. So I think we're kind of in a, with the virus, I think it's obviously never been around before. So everyone's kind of in the unknown of what's the right and what's the wrong way to deal with things. Yeah. So I can see both sides. I can see the league wanting to get the game played, because they know, I suppose, they're on a real tight frame of getting the league finished again. But then, come flip reverse it, the club, St Ives, they want to protect their players and staff. So, you know, it's kind of, like I said, everyone's a little bit in the unknown of how actually to deal with it in the right way. And I suppose there is no right way or no wrong way to deal with it, because we are so unknown with the virus.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, as of tomorrow, we are going into a national lockdown. It means no football for yourself for a month. Non-elite sport cannot continue. That was clarified by the Prime Minister over the last few days.
Yeah.
how disappointing is that? What will you be doing in the months to try and keep fit and make sure you're ready to go when the month is up?
Well, I'll still be going into work. I'm a PE teacher, so work life will continue just like it did when the virus first come out. That will still continue for me. The gaffer actually put in the group that they'll be in touch in the next couple of days. So there's no way that they'll be letting us do nothing for a month. I'm pretty sure we'll be sent over a plan that we will have to follow for the next month. And so when we are ready to go back, I think it's the 3rd of November, 3rd of December, sorry. So when we're due to go back, we'll be ready to pick up where we left off, really.
With regards to logistics as a player, how difficult is this month going to be? Maybe not this month specifically in terms of football, but when you restart again, how disruptive is just having a month off in the middle of a season? I can't imagine it's probably happened too many times, or if ever before, I'd imagine you'd have probably had a number of games postponed due to weather maybe in a row, but nothing really like this one month, just block of nothing.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I tore my hamstring in pre-season, so I missed about a month of football without obviously being able to train or anything. And when I come back, I was rusty as hell. So it's going to be tough, you know, without being able to train and just with a ball at your feet. But, you know, it's one of the things that we've kind of got to get on with and try and pick it up as soon as we can when we come back. But, yeah, it's not going to be easy coming back with a month of doing nothing and then going straight into a league game. I can't imagine it will be a great viewing, if I'm honest, the first game when we all come back. So, what can you do, eh? You just got to keep yourself ticking over, and if you've got a ball at home, I suppose, try and smash it around the park. but, yeah, like I said, what can you do, really? You just got to do what you can.
Yeah, absolutely. With regards to when you do come back, how much of the league, the authorities, got to look at potentially protecting players as well? Because a month out of the season, although it may not sound massive, there's a number of games that will be lost. They'll have to be rearranged for future dates. The season started late anyway. There could become a point, Luke, where we don't know obviously the absolute ins and outs yet, but you could be playing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday pretty regularly to fit the games in. How much of the authority got to look after the players? Because, you know, you all have jobs as well. You're obviously working hard throughout the week as well. This is going to be a big strain on your bodies physically and mentally as well.
I think they've got to have a serious look, because obviously with us being part-time and everyone works a full day's work and then comes to football, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you know, playing games, it would just be absolutely ridiculous. So if they extend the season a little bit more to fit the games in, then I'm sure everyone would be willing to do that. But playing, you know, it's tough as it is when you go Saturday, Tuesday, and then when you're back in on the Thursday to train, you know, everyone's a little bit stiff still because they've been to work. But then to have to play another game, you're going to have lads breaking down. There'll be injuries. You know, you've got to look at the bigger, I suppose they've got to look at the bigger picture of how the logistics are going to work. But like playing three times a week just for people's bodies with working full-time as well, I just can't see that. It's just not going to work, is it? And it's not fair either on the lads, do you know what I mean? That going to work and then coming and playing. And so, yeah, I think they'll have to have a serious look at it.
Yeah, you'd imagine they will. And hopefully we'll hear, obviously, the regulations from the leagues or the authorities pretty soon to get people as ready as possible for the return. Of course, you all have families as well that also you want to spend time with as well. And it would be obviously incredibly tough to play three times a week if that's what they are planning. Of course, we don't know yet. Luke, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Stay safe over the next month, and we look forward to seeing you back out, hopefully on the pitch in December.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Cambridge City captain Luke Knight there talking to me. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a tough month for local footballers up and down the country. Let's get the thoughts now of Histon manager Lance Key. He joins us in just a sec.
Sports on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yes, Histon were due to play last night, Tuesday night, against Aveley at home, but again, similar reasons, that has been postponed. I'm delighted to say he joins me now. Thanks for coming on the show, Lance.
Hi, Ollie. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Very well.
Good. Let's talk about, obviously, the next month. We know the country's going into a national lockdown and non-elite sport cannot continue. That means yourselves. Before we touch on that, let's just obviously talk about the Aveley game. It was postponed last night, I think, pretty much. I mean, you'd be a job to find any, really, that is still on. The league handing the responsibility over to the clubs before, of course, the national lockdown, and saying, look, in these next couple of days, you've got fixtures. If you want to play them, you can do. If not, then don't. What were your thoughts of how things unfolded over the last few days?
Yeah, I think most clubs would have taken the same kind of, you know, reasoning while we did. Obviously, the coronavirus is key at the moment, and we thought with the club or the league shutting down on Thursday as such, was it really worth putting people through that again for one more game? I think that's pretty much where we looked at it from a club perspective. Certainly Aveley understood that, and ironically I think the Aveley chairman or some sorts is part of the actual league setup anyway, so they were quite keen themselves to do it. So I suppose that the lack of travelling before the lockdown was essential to them as well as us, and obviously I've seen Cambridge City have done the same tonight, which I think is the right thing to do personally. So yeah, I think it's just one of those things. I think a lot of clubs would have done the same thing, if I'm honest.
I'm going to say some fans may look at it in the desperation of trying to watch their favourite team play football and think, well, you're playing on the weekend, what's the difference in a couple of days? But it seemed like most took the opportunity. It seemed like figures were on the rise. Of course, the national lockdown pending, it maybe just seemed the sensible option, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously with the Saturday game, which we didn't play, obviously, but you know, before that, he hadn't made that announcement. So obviously it comes out and then we know obviously what's going on, and I think it just kind of changes the whole kind of concept of it and vibe of it, really. You know, we've now got a month to, hopefully only a month, to try and keep ourselves fit and be ready for the first week of December. If that's the case, you know, it's going to be very strange. Not sure whether we'll be able to sort of get together for a week or 10 days before we start again. I don't know. I would doubt it because, you know, time will be running out, and no doubt this could happen again. So I think it's a case of maybe that every team has to hit the ground running and see where it takes us, basically.
How do you feel that the league handled it? Just spoke to obviously Cambridge City captain Luke Knight and talking about the league handing responsibility over the clubs, whether that's the right way to go about it, whether the league should have taken a stance themselves and just called off all the fixtures. How do you see it?
I think everybody wants the league to continue. I don't think that's an issue from anybody's, you know, point of view. I think that, you know, obviously with what's happening right now, I think it was inevitable this was going to happen. People spoke about the 2-week break that they talked about, which never happened, which they talked about in half term. Perhaps that may should have happened. Who knows? But I think this was inevitable, the way the numbers were rising all over the country. And I just think, you know, at the end of the day, they've got to make a stance. It's got to be safe. And I think that by doing this, it gives everyone a chance to make things right again, if possible. And hopefully, within a month's time, let's hope that the tracking and testing is more fluent and that it's more available to people, because I think that's the important thing, that, you know, if we can do this on a weekly basis, then I think we can move forward, hopefully.
Yeah, as of tomorrow, as I said at the top, non-elite football, so grassroots football, etc., yourselves, Cambridge City, St Ives, St Neots, all the local clubs will not continue. Do you agree with it? Would you rather, you know, clubs continue, of course, because it's so many benefits on physical and mental health as well, but of course the government clearly feel that the cases are rising so much significantly that it the only safe way to continue is to shut it down. But do you agree? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one. Obviously, we all want to continue to play. We all want to make sure that people don't have, you know, the wrong thoughts because they haven't got their fix or whatever it might be. And, you know, just basically going to lockdown full stop is not good for anybody. So I think, obviously, if you could have had or still have had this kind of ability to go and watch a game of football, albeit I think that, you know, to stop fans going in, I think is the right thing. Perhaps you could have done it perhaps still by streaming the game, possibly. But again, then that means you've still got to get the players together, the coaches together, which then enhances the possibility of spreading the virus again. So I think, you know, if this month can work and, you know, people isolate properly and we do it in the manner that hopefully then we come back in the first week of December, because I think obviously what they're really worried about is the Christmas period, whether it be for, you know, holidays or for businesses or whatever, you know, and especially football, because it's a busy period, that this can then happen in the right way. Because, you know, if we don't have that over the festive period as well, that's going to be very hard to take as well, I think, you know. So missing the football as we are now, I think, like I say, it was inevitable, and I hopefully we can come back better and stronger because of it in December.
Yeah, let's talk about the finances and the business side of things. When I spoke to you right at the start of lockdown, Lance, we said that if Histon have no fans whatsoever, the longest you'd probably be able to leave it until urgent action would be required is December, Christmas time. Obviously, you've had fans for a couple of months now, so that's helped. But will this 1 month of obviously no activity, no income in the club affect things at all, or are you pretty sustainable, pretty stable?
I think we're fairly stable, Ollie. I spoke to our finance guy yesterday, ironically, because obviously we've just finished a month's worth of football and players need paying. But they all kind of, this is the other side of things of non-league football, which people don't realise, is that, you know, players that, you know, they would have travelled to the game on Saturday that got called off, so they've given their Saturday up, which normally would mean they would get paid, but, you know, there's only the contracted players that would have got paid for Saturday. Players understand that, they respect that, and I think that just shows, you know, the kind of affection they have for the football club, that they don't want to put it into that kind of position where the finances are a problem. And I just think that, you know, the way the club has kind of built itself off the pitch over the last few years, I think we're okay for a while. That's what I was told yesterday. But again, also, I think with what's happening, I think the government also will help small clubs like ourselves to get through this next month as well. I think there's going to be some handouts somewhere along the line, hopefully, because, you know, clubs like ours will need it, and others, you know, because I think it's important that it's not our fault this has happened. And hopefully, you know, that everyone sees sense in that, and that, you know, they can help, you know, clubs get by, because it is going to be tough for teams, there's no doubt about that, and small businesses alike. And it's going to be a tough ask this next month, but I'm sure that, you know, we're in a much stronger position than we were, say, 4 or 5 years ago. So right now, I'm not too worried.
Yeah, you're not allowed to train also over the next month. So what is next with regards to individual programmes to get fit, making sure these players are in best possible shape when they come back in December?
Yeah, it's difficult, really. That's one of the hardest things, you know, because, you know, not everyone will be able to work either. You know, only key workers, I suppose, and construction workers may be able to go back to work, obviously, but some of the players won't be able to work at all. And I think that's the hardest side of it. So exercise-wise is one of those things that can keep you fresh and mentally strong. And so hopefully that, you know, the players, we'll talk to them regarding this, you know, and hopefully that they can set themselves targets for this next 4 weeks, because I think it could be the case that we do hit the ground running, and I think it's Canberra Island our first game, which is not a very easy one. If that's the case, then we just have to try and hit the ground running like everybody else will, and it won't be ideal, but it's, you know, unfortunately that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, how long will you need to get players match fit after the four-week break? Do you feel the league will implement a mini pre-season again, or are you fully expecting to go right straight into fixtures when you return?
I doubt they might give you a week to 10 days possibly, but I very much doubt that, because they've got to rearrange fixtures that are already set in stone for that first week. So I think, personally, I think they might say to you, right, you know, a week leading up to it, they might give you, I don't know, the government might even say that, you know, that we can do that kind of thing. I don't know. But again, I think that goes on the ability of testing and track and trace and all that kind of thing. So it's going to be difficult, Ollie, I won't lie. But again, we're going to be the same as every other club. And to answer the question regarding, you know, what do individuals do, each individual is different. You know, some will need it more than others. And I think it's a case of some will be mentally better prepared to do that away from the club as well. So it's going to be the same for every football club at our level and above and below. So it's not going to be an unfair playing field, because when we go back, we'll probably be unfit, and it could take two or three games to get back to that level again.
And also, 6 games now to rearrange, Lance. I just said this to Luke. Is there a duty of care to the players that when you come back, you're not playing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or whatever it may be, 3 times a week? Because you're going to have to try and fit these fixtures in somewhere. And if it is cramming them into a 7-day period each week, then that's going to be really tough on the players physically and mentally.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I think that's why I don't think they'll extend us to have a mini pre-season. I can't see that happening. And I think that the one thing they had done leading up to Christmas, I think we only had probably 2 or 3 midweek fixtures already in place. Hopefully there's enough Tuesdays or Wednesdays that we can do this on, you know, after Christmas as such. Because like you say, we don't want to be playing Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, because that would just, it goes against the whole grain of what, you know, the country's trying to do right now. So I'm hopeful that, you know, these games that get rearranged, then you've obviously got to rely on the weather, you know, because obviously we were having problems with that even now. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough ask, Ollie. And it may be that the season gets extended to the end of May, perhaps, and that might be one of the answers that they look at to try and solve the fixture problem.
Well, Lance, thanks very much for joining us. Enjoy as much as you can the month off, and I'm sure we'll catch up soon.
That's very kind, Ollie. Cheers, God. Safe, everybody.
Histon manager Lance Key there chatting to us. As we said, of course, the majority of leagues gave the options to clubs to postpone the fixtures over the last couple of nights, and both Cambridge City and Histon took that option. So no matches for them over the last couple of days, no matches for the next month, of course, with the national lockdown, meaning no non-elite sport. We'll keep you across how they're faring over the next month, how they're trying to keep fit as well, and be ready for that return in December. We're very much looking forward to it already.
On Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yeah, you're listening to the 105 Sports Special here on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're sort of continuing the chat about football, but something very different but very special now. Now, you may have heard of Image Impact with Heidel, a young girl in the city who is trying to do 7.1 million keepy uppies for every key worker in the UK. Now, of course, we had Imogen on the show back in May when she started the challenge, and I'm delighted to say we've got her on again. Now she has completed the challenge. Imogen and her dad, Carl, are on the line now. Imogen, Carl, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
How are you doing? You well?
Yeah, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. You've got your dad, Carl, alongside you. How are you doing, Carl?
Yeah, very well. Thank you very much, Ollie. How are you? Good?
Yeah, all good, thank you. All good. Imogen, let's start with, of course, I think the news that everyone's talking about. We've seen the videos all over social media this morning. Everyone must be aware you had that 7.1 million Keepy Happy Challenge. And I'm delighted to say it this morning at the Abbey Stadium, the home of football, one might add, you managed to complete the challenge. How did that feel?
It felt so amazing to actually finish the challenge. We're like, oh my goodness, I finished the challenge. It was like, oh my God, it's so incredibly exciting. I really can't believe that we finished the challenge only after 7 months. And when I started, I thought it was going to take me 97 years, even if I get some Keepy Happy donations. I still thought it was going to take a couple of years. People have donated 5.9 million Keepy Happies, and they are so kind and wonderful. And they've helped me raise so much money for 9 charities to help support and look after our key workers. I'll be sad that as it has been a really wonderful time and challenge, but it
will
be really good to have
a rest. Well, it's a well-earned rest, let me tell you that. And you are a star, Imogen. You've done an amazing job. Are your legs tired? That's what I want to know. They must be after 7.1 million Keepy Happies.
They were a little bit tired. Earlier today, they were, like, freezing.
So it's nice that you've managed to get the Keepy Happies done, probably just before winter comes in, so you don't have to be outside in the cold. How much money have you managed to raise so far, Imogen?
The challenge has been absolutely phenomenal, and it was so amazing, and I just didn't know, and it's just amazing that people who didn't know me went out into their gardens, and they helped me raise over £11,100 for, like, the 9 fantastic key worker charities that I'm supporting for the charity. It's really, really amazing that £11,100 is a lot of money.
It absolutely is. And you must have some of the best football skills in the country now. Your Keepy Happies are amazing. Have you seen your football skills improve over the last 7 months as well, Imogen?
Yes, I've seen them improve quite a lot. After lockdown, my record was 40 Keepy Happies. And now it's 800. And that's like a massive difference. And I'm really proud of myself.
You should be proud. That is amazing. Now, you've met some amazing people along the way as well, Imogen. Right at the start, when we had this conversation back in May, when you were starting up your challenge, you said you were inspired by Sir Captain Tom and his challenge of walking around his house, but you got to meet him, didn't you? I think it was at the Pride of Britain Awards.
Yeah, that was really, really, really amazing. I mean, Captain Tom has inspired me to do the challenge, and it's just really amazing to actually meet the man who inspired me to do this whole challenge. And he really deserves his Pride of Britain Award, like, really deserves. He's such a fantastic person, and I mean, everyone in the world is saying thank you to him. And yeah, it's just really amazing to meet him and present him the Pride of Britain Award.
Yeah, I bet it was amazing. And you've also met some celebrities since we last spoke, some England footballers in Georgia Stanway and Izzy Christiansen. How are them two?
Oh, they were so nice. It was, like, so special. And it was so wonderful that they wanted to help and support the challenge. And that was just, it's just really amazing how they wanted to, like, support it. And it's just really, really amazing.
And I saw on the video you were talking about your dreams and ambitions to play for England as well with them.
Yeah, I really like to play for England and be at Lineham. I also had a kickabout with the Lineham, and that was really cool.
Brilliant. Carl, just a quick word from you. How proud are you of Imogen for doing this challenge? I mean, it seemed a big challenge when we spoke in May, and I think you're well aware of that as well, but she's done absolutely brilliantly.
To be honest, Ollie, I didn't think we would actually get here quite so quickly. It's been absolutely fantastic. And as a family, we are totally proud of her and what she's achieved, and the very fact that she's inspired so many people across the country, across the region, in Cambridge here itself. And it's absolutely brilliant. And I think that's probably one of the kind of proudest moments that we've had, to be honest. Is that, you know, come rain, come shine, She's been going out there. And it's some of the supporters that have helped her through this as well. You know, I think you even said to me, it's in your image, that, oh, do I have to get out today when it's so rainy? And we said, yeah, look at all these people. And she's gone out and she said, oh, yeah, you're right. So out she goes, you know, sometimes had to hide in my greenhouse because it was like thundering or something. We don't, you're not allowed back in, girl, out there, you know. So, yeah, and so it's been her determination, to be honest, from the get-go, which has been absolutely brilliant, and it's something that we will be really proud of her for, you know, for a long, long time.
Yeah, and Carl, the underlying message of what you've done as well, it's just fantastic, the whole, like I touched on earlier, bringing everyone together, the community together, but just doing something amazing and raising money for people who put in so much work to our country. And when you think back of, obviously, this time we will do when we're older, and of course there'll be the negative regards to the lockdown and all the unfortunate fatalities, but there's been the silver lining of, I say, people coming together and the real shining lights, the likes of Captain Tom. And Imogen is absolutely right up there alongside them.
Thank you for saying that. There's a certain amount of poetry to this, I feel, is that, you know, just at the kind of beginning of lockdown, she started this, and then we're just about, well, just going into the second lockdown. And the fact that she's managed to achieve it within that time is, I don't know, it feels right that we've done what we've done. And you know, and one of the things that has been absolutely amazing has been the support from 2-year-olds knocking around their balloons.
Like they're going out into the garden, like donating key to us. It's like really, really, really amazing.
I know, we had Sam, who was you know, in a hospital bed recovering, doing chemotherapy. And she was doing keepy uppies from our, you know, by the side of a hospital bed. We've had pan disability groups, people who are amputees, people who are blind, still doing keepy uppies, going outside. And we've had quite a few people saying that it's given them some purpose during lockdown. And that, you know, it's not me saying that. That's them. It's given them a focus, something to do, to get them outside every day or every other day to do some keepy-uppy for Imogen and contribute to the challenge. And it's helped their mental health through this time as well. And that's what, you know, quite a few people have said to us. So, you know, that's been really a wonderful side effect of from doing this challenge.
Yeah, you're an absolute inspiration, Imogen, clearly from the stories that yourself and your dad have just explained. What's next then, Imogen? Surely you've not got another challenge up your sleeve for the next lockdown.
I'm going to have a little rest and I'll think about what...
I think it's a well-deserved rest, and I'm sure Mum and Dad would say the same. Imogen, Carl, thank you from everyone, I guess, from within the community who listens to our station. And if I can speak on behalf of them, the amount of people that have got involved and taken their time and like had a purpose to get out and contribute and get involved in the Keep Happy Challenge, bringing all those people together is all down to you. And you've done a fantastic job with Imogen. So thank you very much, and have a safe lockdown. Stay safe and well. And I look forward to eyeing up your next challenge as well.
Thank you very much indeed.
No worries at all. It's our pleasure. Imogen Papworth-Hardle there and her dad, Carl, amazing. I mean, it's just incredible. 7.1 million keepy-uppies. Well, I remember sitting there in May thinking, that is loads. But what, come November the 4th, she has managed to do it. An incredible job. And as we alluded to in the interview, inspiring so many people. The stories Carl said there about the people who got involved and Imogen talking about the number of people she'd had supporting her as well and famous faces giving up their time. Incredible. Really bringing people together. And hopefully that's what we remember when we think back to this time in years to come.
Sports on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Anyway, let's lastly on tonight's show turn our attention to hockey. And we caught up with Vicky Franks, the captain of the ladies' side, a couple of weeks ago. We're now joined by the assistant coach and manager of the men's first team, Josh Peterson. Josh, thank you very much for coming on the show, mate.
Not a problem.
How are you doing? You well?
Yeah, keeping well myself, thanks. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. Now, of course, this conversation is a little bit with the added context that we're about to go into a national lockdown. So no hockey, unfortunately, for a month or so. We'll come on to that and the challenges that presents in just a little bit. Let's talk about your start to the season, though, Josh, and the new boys in the Division 1 North, which is the second tier of the England hockey pyramid. The women are in the Division 1 South. It looks like they had the favourable draw of being put in the South Division, but yourselves in the North. How have you found life so far in the second tier?
Yeah, so as a team, we obviously just adapt to the North or South. Slightly different teams, which is quite nice. So we're not playing all the teams we used to from around London. So not travelling into London every week is obviously a little bit nicer for some of the lads. But yeah, unfortunately with the North comes travel, and we go up to, hopefully we'll get to travel to Manchester for Bowden, Chester Wayford, Deeside Ramblers, and the rest is Midlands based. But in terms of the league, it's a tough league. It's a high standard, as we expected, and the main difference now is our consistency of performance. Any drop in performance suddenly now becomes more open to attack from the opposition, and that's our biggest learning curve so far, has been we can't just outscore teams this year. We have to have a plan. And we're built on plans week in, week out, and we're having some very good performances, although the results might not have shown it in the first few weeks. But one win, one draw has been a very good start for us.
What was the sort of ambitions and aims heading into the season? Because we know, obviously, getting promoted out of the Conference East last season, the new boys into the Division 1 North. Where were you sort of settling your eyes at? Where were you wanting to finish?
So our first aim between the coaching team has always been we're going to stay up. That is the main target. Get ourselves bedded into the league this year. Next year, start to improve on the squad, and hopefully in the next few years, the club could look at possible promotion out of the league. But for this year, definitely it's about maintaining our foot in Division 1B with a restructure next year when 20 teams are decided. We might get lucky and go south. We might end up north again.
One thing that's noticeable when chatting to both yourself and the ladies setup as well is that there's a real sort of plan to look ahead to 2 or 3 years down the line, where you want the club, the teams to be. Speaking to the ladies, they're on a bit of an arc. I think Vicky Franks calls it, the captain, with Helen Richardson-Walsh at the helm. With yourself, again, you're looking at sort of a project of making sure you stay up and then progressing, as opposed to, you know, some teams might just look and say, oh, we want to win the next game, But there seems to be, with the club really, a real plan, a project for future years. Where do you think that comes from?
So when myself and stepped into positions back, this is now our third season together with the team. So 3 years ago, the club mentioned to us the target is that we want to be the biggest club in the East, which I feel as a club we generally have got to that point now. But also looking ahead, and the club had a very good vision before the pitches were laid. It weren't just going to be three pitches laid, now play your hockey. It was, we've invested the money in the pitches. Now we want the club's performance squads. We want that next step from them as well. And the club laid out a very ambitious plan. And I feel that from the club hierarchy, they're the ones that have kind of set the goals, which is how the club has managed to get Helen on the ladies' side and Gareth on the men's side as lead coaches, which are big names within the sport on their own respects.
Absolutely. And the next month will present its challenges. Talking short term, Josh, of course, national lockdown, meaning no non-elite sport can continue. That includes, unfortunately, yourselves. What are the challenges it's going to present to the players, to the, I guess, the coaching staff, the team? Obviously, the number one is probably maintaining fitness for when you return, but I'm sure there's more physical and mental health issues as well within that as well.
Yeah, so we're taking the approach very similar to what we had to do with the disrupted start to the season. We were very lucky, National League, to be deemed a high enough level of sport that we could start earlier than the East Leagues did for some of our lower teams in the club. Our plan over that lockdown is the same as this one. We've got a strength and conditioning coach, Sam Coe, who will send out the squad details of fitness work and strength work that they're going to be asked to do, as well as hopefully looking after themselves during the troubling times. And then alongside that, what we done last time was just a weekly, two-weekly catch-up with the squad on Zoom or other methods available, obviously, for that purpose. And, just having a catch-up with them. Sometimes it was a Friday night. We'd have maybe one or two drinks if they were over 18, clearly, and have just a bit of a chat. How's daily life going? But every so often, we could chuck in a video analysis session online, little things like that. So going into this one, we're very confident in what we've done previously, that worked very well with the squad, and we got good buy-in from the team themselves, that looking at this one, being only a month, hopefully, as long as things go to plan, that we can come out the other side ready to go again as soon as National League restarts.
Well, fingers crossed. It does restart in December, and local sports board across the country can be played ASAP. Josh, thanks very much for joining us. All the best, and stay safe during lockdown.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So that's all we have time for this week on the 105 Sports Special. Thank you very much for tuning in. Up next on Cambridge 105 Radio is Tim Willett with the new music generator. That's from 7 until 9 o'clock. Cambridge 105 Radio's flagship show, dedicated to local and unsigned music. With regards to sports coverage, well, the lack of local sport is evident over the next month with national lockdown. But let me tell you this, Cambridge 105 Radio sport content will not change. We'll be here Saturday, 1 p.m. for the Cambridgeshire Football Show, Sunday, 1 p.m. for From the Terraces, and Wednesday at 6 for the 105 Sport Special. Of course, the next month is going to be tough, but it will end eventually and things will return to normal. Whatever you're doing with the rest of your week, have a good one, and please, please, please stay safe. Bye-bye. Cambridge 105.